Well, I'm sure the world's looking at us today like, what in the world? These people go to church on Saturday every week. They're out of sync. And then today, here we are on a Sunday. I like movies. And years ago, I used to make my children sit and watch John Wayne movies. I'm sure my daughter, Stefan, can attest to that. I don't know if they became fans or they hated it, but we watched a lot of John Wayne movies. And I like movies. Several years ago, a movie came out titled The Matrix. I believe it came out in 1999. That was 24 years ago. Hard to believe, time flies so fast. But I'm at that age where, you know, the movies I remember, my kids have never heard of. And the people that are my parents' age probably have never seen them either. So more than likely, only the folks in my generation may understand all the references, but the movie starred Keanu Reeves and had a lot of symbolism based on good and evil, you know. The advertising promotion for this movie started like this. It said, have you ever had a dream? A dream that you were so sure was real. What if you couldn't awaken from that dream? How would you know the difference? The difference between dream and reality. Of course, Keanu Reeves, the character in the movie, his name was Neo, and he was a computer hacker. He stole programs and marketed and sold these stolen programs to people. And in this movie, in the back of his mind, he always felt like something was off. Something was just not quite right. And he could never put his finger on it. And of course, in the course of the movie, he discovers the shocking truth that all in this world is a lie. All of it is an elaborate deception of an evil cyber intelligence. Everything is an illusion. Computers have basically taken over the world, and human beings have been reduced to a battery. They produce electricity for the whole system. They were farmed and raised in these pods, these fluid-filled pods of goo. They were born, they lived, and died all inside this goo-filled pod. There were probes and electrodes and a shaft that stuck into the back of their head that went directly into their brain. And everything that they felt or everything that they heard and everything that they experienced was just an electrical impulse. And they were kept in this dream state, yet they really thought that they were living their life every day. But it was all just in their mind, and nothing was real. Of course, Neo, through the course of the movie, comes to a point where he realizes this, and he has some help from some outside rescuers, and they show him what's real. They show him what's behind the scenes and the fakeness of the world. They basically pull the curtain back on the Wizard of Oz. And at this pivotal point in the movie, the rescuer gives him a choice, and he says, you know, here you are, Neo. You have a choice. Mr. Adkins talked about choices last week. You can take this blue pill and go back into the Matrix and forget this ever happened, and life will go on as you know it. Or you can take the red pill and see how deep the rabbit hole goes. That was the famous line. Of course, he takes the red pill. He's awakened, and he sees all the deception and the lie that has been his whole world. Everything was a lie. Aren't we seeing this today, as it were? Increasing violence and increasing promotion of the wrongness of lifestyles. You know, Anheuser-Busch got in trouble for promoting transgenderism, and they're suffering from that. Target just came out this last week. They have a line of clothing promoting Satanism. I mean, it's amazing. We have drag queens indoctrinating our young children in schools and putting on shows for them. And corporations are subject to an inclusiveness index. In other words, they're measured on how they treat marginalized groups. And of course, none of this has a basis of right and wrong. Satan has normalized evil. Choosing the right or God's way seems to make you weird. Let's turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. It says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. I'm sorry, John chapter 8 and verse 39. John chapter 8 and verse 39. And they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. In other words, their actions speak louder than words. And in verse 40, it says, but you do the deeds of your father. It says, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. So here they were, seeking to kill him because he told the truth. It was not popular. And he goes on and describes how you do the works of your father. And he said in verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father, it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and stands not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof. We go on and we think about how things are changing, how they're getting worse and worse, and we can see Satan's influence in this world. And I wanted to focus, I would really appreciate this survey of the spiritual gifts and all the gifts that were listed out. What I'm going to hone in on today is a discerning of spirits, one of the spiritual gifts that God has given us. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. And it's hard not to go over probably some of the same verses because of the subject matter. But Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. But they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. And it says in verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Exchanged the truth of God for a lie. You think back into Genesis and when Satan was there talking to Eve, and he said, you can eat of the fruit of this garden. You don't have to obey God. You won't surely die. That was his statement. You won't surely die. That is the lie. And they have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. What Satan was saying was, you can do whatever you want. You can make your own choices and you can choose. And there are no consequences. No consequences. In verse 26 in chapter 1, we're right here. I'm sorry, Romans 1 and verse 26. Says, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged natural use for what is against nature, and likewise also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, and burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and gave them over to a debased mind to do these things which are not fitting. But we recognize this, and we recognize this through the Spirit of God that He has given us, a spirit of discernment. You know, Satan promotes this lie through all kinds of things, that you shall not surely die. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For the simplicity that is in Christ. What's that simplicity? If you love me, keep my commandments. It says in verse 4, For it is he who comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have now accepted, you may well put up with it. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. And drop down to verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And in verse 14 it says, and in no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. You will not surely die. There are no consequences for sin. That's how important discernment is for our radar to go off when we hear things that don't ring true. You can do whatever you want. Whatever is your choice is always right. You don't have to obey. You know, we have prosecutors today, you hear about it on the news, that let criminals out with no consequences, and we wonder why the crime wave is on the rise. We also have no rewards for good behavior. All the laws seem to be written to protect criminals. This normalization of evil. This last weekend, my niece graduated from high school at the Don Tyson School of Innovation. She was the valedictorian, yet she was never mentioned, never recognized, because they didn't want the other students to be offended or hurt. So for all your hard work and what you rightfully earned, there's no reward, no accolades. This truly is a world run by Satan and full of lies. You know, in Acts 2, verse 38, it was mentioned earlier, it said, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, and every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift. And it truly is a gift. A gift is a thing willingly given. No payment is necessary. But it's also an unmissable opportunity. And as Mr. Porter went through in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the diversity of gifts and the diversity of things, but having that same spirit, in verse 10 it talked about the discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. To be able to tell what is right and what is wrong. We are faced with these choices every day, with decisions to make, to obey or not obey. We need discernment to help us recognize the right path. Discernment is the ability to judge well, the quality of being able to grasp and comprehend and make a decision that honors God, that honors God's will in our lives. Discernment is one of the attributes of this gift of the Holy Spirit, and we need it in our daily lives. We're told in 1 John chapter 4 to test the spirits, to try the spirits. And we know the Spirit of God because we have God's Spirit in us, and we know what is of God and what is of Satan. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, we are of God, and he that knows God hears us, and he that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We know and can hear and understand and recognize the spirit of truth. We also know and recognize and can hear and detect that spirit of error. Because we have God's Holy Spirit in us, that's his essence, his power. And do we realize how awesome that is? You know, discernment comes through the Holy Spirit. It's that ability to hear the truth and recognize it. You won't surely die. Have you been accused of being a legalist maybe by some of your friends or because we obey the Ten Commandments? And you've heard the statement, well, we're under grace, we're not under the law. Oh, that's just Old Testament stuff. The law has been done away with. I Sabbath every day in my heart. You know, it's funny, most of the world's religions accept the Ten Commandments, but not the Sabbath day. And that's the one commandment that God says is a sign. How about abortion is women's health? Or the border is secure? Isn't that funny? Homosexuality is just a normal life choice. You can transgender. you won't surely die. No consequence for sin. Matthew 24, verse 24 says, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. If it were possible. I think if we have God's Holy Spirit in us, and we have that spirit of discernment, that wisdom that God gives us, we will not be confused. We will not be led astray. I want to talk about another dream. We began this with dreams. Turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. And chapter 3. 1 Kings and chapter 3. Mr. Adkins mentioned the burnt offerings and the offerings during the offertory. Says here in verse 4, now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. 1,000 burnt offerings. You know, if you did 100 an hour, that'd take 10 hours for you to slaughter all those animals. 10 hours. But in verse 5, it says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask, what shall I give you? And of course, you know the story. But as Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart. And it says, you have continued this great kindness for him, and have you given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child, and I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? So Solomon asked for discernment and wisdom to be able to judge. You know, we can go to God and pray and ask for wisdom and discernment, and He will grant us that also. But give your servant an understanding heart to judge the people, that I may discern between good and evil. And in verse 12, he says, behold, I have done according to your words. God answered his prayer and says, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any be like you after you. And he goes on and says, you know, I've given you what you haven't asked for. Long life and wealth and things of that nature. In verse 14, it says, so if you walk in my ways, so here's some added instructions, to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So, you know, we have a responsibility to keep God's statutes and his commandments. In verse 15, it says, then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. You know, this was God talking to him in this dream. Pray for discernment. Pray for wisdom. But also keep in mind that we need to keep God's statutes and His commandments and to obey Him. The opposite of do whatever you want. You know, we heard that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. When we have a discerning spirit, we hear and understand God's worth. We hear His truth. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, it talks about my sheep hear my voice. We hear that voice because we have God's Holy Spirit in us. When I go to my farm, we have a herd of cattle, and I can go out and walk in the pasture and, you know, talk to my cows or call them. They don't get excited. They don't get stirred up. But if I bring a stranger up there with me or someone who's not been around them, man, their heads pop up and they start prancing around and they get all nervous because a stranger is among them. But I can call them and move them from pasture to pasture or call them into the corral because they hear my voice. We can do that same thing through God's Holy Spirit. We are God's sheep, and we hear His voice because we have that spirit of discernment. As we mentioned before, God's Holy Spirit truly is a gift. But not only is it a gift, but it is a gift of extremely high value. You know, it's worth more than a bar of gold or anything like that. Talk about, you know, a hidden treasure in the field, and a man finds it, and he sells all that he has to buy that field because that treasure is there. God's Holy Spirit is a treasure to us. And in Matthew 13, verse 45, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it." God's Holy Spirit is a gift of extreme value, and it is given to us for a reason and for a future. Don't take it for granted. You know, sometimes we wake up and we take the air that we breathe for granted, or the water that we drink, or the food that we have. We have this discerning spirit to know truth and to hear truth, but also to hear the lie. God's Holy Spirit is of great value. It is that pearl of great price. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3 says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the gods of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." You know, God, or Jesus Christ, has given us this wisdom, this discerning spirit to know truth. Satan has blinded the world. He has blinded the minds of men. But we have this precious treasure within us. 2 Corinthians 4, right here in verse 7, it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are that earthen vessel. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." This is our world. "Persecuted, but not forsaken." You know, God won't leave us or forsake us. "We may be cast down, but we're not destroyed." Talks about always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Continues on, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, for that the life also of Jesus might be manifest and made manifest in our mortal flesh." We recognize God's Holy Spirit, and we recognize the truth and the lies. In verse 13 says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you." In verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, that though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We have a future and a hope because of God's Holy Spirit. We have that opportunity to be in His family and to be in the kingdom of God. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 talks about how you must exercise your senses. Exercise discernment to know both good and evil. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I believe Mr. Porter went here also, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "But for God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. We're given that knowledge through God's Holy Spirit. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And we think about the world keeping Christmas and Easter and Sunday worship and all the things that go along with that. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ through that Holy Spirit, that gift that we've been given. Finally, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. How about 2 Thessalonians? I knew that didn't look right. 2 verse 2, we'll start there in verse chapter 2 of verse 2. Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by the word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. We need God's Holy Spirit to stay close to God, to stay close to the tree of life and to truth. So do not be troubled by the times, even though they are getting worse. Let no man deceive you. There will be a falling away. In verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you of these things? And in verse 6, and now you know what was holdeth that he might be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. We see that today every day, the mystery of lawlessness. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Power, signs, and lying wonders might even confuse and lead away the very elect, but we have God's Holy Spirit to protect us with that. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause and for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. False religions, Sunday worship, Christmas, Easter, wrong lifestyles. God has allowed that and had sent them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. But we have the truth of God, and we can take pleasure in knowing that God has protected us and protected our minds and given us that spirit of discernment to detect right from wrong. And in verse 13 it says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." We have the sanctification of God's Spirit, and we have belief in the truth. God's Holy Spirit is a gift of immense value. It allows us to be in the very family of God, to obey His commandments, to believe in the truth of God and recognize not only what is true, but to also recognize what is the lie. Do what you want. You won't surely die. We can hear that and understand that it's not truth.